remember a million years ago when I still had hair.
Wow.
The crowd is in awe.
You mean you really did one time?
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, when I remember back in the day that I got promoted into management training with the Kroger company. I'd been a carryout boy for a day and got promoted to cashier. I was a cashier for a day. Got promoted into the produce department. Worked about three seasons in the produce department. This guy's on the fast track, put him in management training. In management training, they put me in every job in the store. Whatever job I had never experienced, I'm a meat cutter, I'm up front with the head cashier, taking banking the money, and learned all of that kind of stuff. And back in the day, if you had cut me, I'd have led Kroger Blue.
Yep.
It was a 24/7 mindset where I had it on my mind. I had been told by my personnel manager in the Toledo division that I was on the accelerated training program, and I had five jobs in a row that were the same jobs that were held by the man who was at that point president of the Kroger company, a fellow named Lyle Everingham. He had been in the same produce department I was in. He managed the same store I was in. He sat in the same desk in the Kroger office in Toledo that I was sitting in. So I'm thinking, yes, sir. My mindset was all about getting to the top and climbing the corporate ladder, doing a good job. Some folks fit retail. I fit retail. It worked for me. And there wasn't any job in the store that I couldn't do as quickly or more efficiently than anybody else in the building. Didn't matter what department. I just took to it like a fish to water. That mentality, where something would happen that had no relationship to the Kroger company, but I would think of it in Kroger company terms. That mentality is what got something I put together on the front of Supermarket News, on the front of Chain Store Age, on the front of Progressive Grocer. I was a star. A rising star. Among 93,000 other rising stars within the Kroger company, but I thought I was special, and I thought, wow, this is working for me, and I'm going to just press this and leave Kroger Blue. What I try to give you there is just the illustration about setting your mind to something and having your focus. Whatever your situation happens to be, your focus is on that one thing.
Yes.
I'm supposed to have a new focus.
Amen.
I'm now supposed to have not the focus of Kroger Blue, not the focus of I work down on Vine Street, I travel the country for them, not that focus any longer. Now, for me, to live is Christ.
Yes.
So now, whatever I'm thinking of, whatever I'm doing, whatever I'm working on, it's all in that basket. It's
Amen.
All about the Lord Jesus. And that needs to be my orientation, my mindset. That needs to be what matters to me. And that becomes a reality of it really does matter when it really is real. When you know you were the sinner for whom Christ died, you know you'd have rotted in hell for eternity and deserved it. When you know that by His grace He saves your never dying soul. When you know He makes a new creature out of you, gives you new life in Christ Jesus. When that is a reality, and you care about those kinds of things, then it becomes a little easier, I think, to have the reality of to me to live as Christ on the table. The words are easily said, but to really care about the Lord Jesus and care about His people, to care about Christianity, and to have that be the pervasive item, that it supersedes anything else, is something that comes as a product of the doctrine working effectually in us.
Amen.
Nothing more, nothing less. Now, I remind myself in Philippians chapter 2, in verse 5, let this mind be in you. I'm to have the mind in me, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, I'm never going to be in the form of God, but I'm in the body of Christ.
Amen.
Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. I wouldn't even consider being equal with God. But I know positionally He isn't mad at me anymore. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. I'm complete in my Savior. Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10.
Amen.
So I'm in a very desirable position where God has placed me. He made Himself of no reputation and took upon the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in the fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, which is a cursed death. Verse 5 began, let this mind be in you. I read down through the passage and I read a sacrifice.
Yes.
I read a life given for the benefit of people that might not even appreciate what you're doing. I know that the Lord Jesus Christ died while you and I yet hated Him, according to Romans chapter 5.
Yes.
So I read about this obedience, even the death of the cross, even to be called accursed.
Yes.
And again, I go back to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you. Now, if I'm going to have that mind be in me, it's going to be a product of God's Word.
Yes.
Because I'm not going to find out from any place else that Jesus is more important than anything else.
That's right.
I'm not going to get that from the public school system. I'm not going to get that from the mainstream media. As far as the United States of America is concerned, Jesus Christ is their favorite cuss word.
Yes.
At least it's in the top two or three.
Yeah.
But as far as a Savior, it's the old boy upstairs and he'll look out for me. You know, that kind of, I don't know who that God is. He's not the God of the Bible.
No, He's not.
I'm to let a mind be in me. I'm to take on a mental persuasion, a mental attitude. I'm to be fixated upon this life where I'm an offscouring. Christ humbled Himself. Obedient even to death, the death of the cross. There are things to which I need to be obedient. I need to learn some things. And in your outline, I've given you a gaggle of verses from Philippians. And aren't they wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in judgment. Being ignorant isn't acceptable for any long period of time. We all start out ignorant.
Yeah.
But we don't stay that way. We learn the material. And we become then knowledgeable. We are capable of judgment function, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. The idea of approving things that are excellent is something that I would not come to naturally. I need to come to it supernaturally.
Yes.
Because what is considered excellent? Why, winning American Idol this evening, that would be considered excellent. Not being fired by Trump a couple of days ago, that was considered excellent. And I am of a different mind than that. I know that it's not about the adulation of confused people.
Right.
I know it is about serving my Savior and pleasing Him. I remember all those years ago trying to start a Grace Assembly. I really couldn't take input from anybody because nobody knew what I was doing.
Yeah.
Nobody knew what I was talking about.
Yeah.
There, you know, get them tithe checks out there. Get those, you know, out of them. Whoa! We're not going to do it that way. I don't understand. I know you don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be 6 months to a year before you do understand. So we'll not vote on anything if it's okay with you. I'm going to be your little dictator and tell you how we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully I manage by consensus after a period. But the sincerity you see in the verse, be sincere and without offense. The sincerity comes from it being real. When it's not real, when it's just showbiz, you hear them dancing and jumping around the stage, or you see them in their regalia, the Lord is in His holy temple, you know, and all the tintabulations and all the accoutrements of religiosity putting on the big show. When it's sincere, you don't go there.
Amen.
When it's sincere, you're dealing with issues, you're dealing with people, you're dealing with souls that need saved. And so, verse 10, we're to be sincere. Now, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. So much for the idea that nobody's wrong and everybody's right. No, there's one mind.
Right.
Something I pick up from Philippians is I need to learn how to think.
Yes.
Now, I'm fairly well read and I'm halfway right. Depends on who you ask, but but I'm capable of understanding some things, but that's not what this is about. What this is about is this mind of Christ, not his IQ points, not his ability to know the end from the beginning, not I'm God now. No, not that.
No.
But rather, this mind of a sacrifice, this one mind being found in the form and fashion of a man, he humbled himself even to the death of the cross, and I need to be crucified on that same cross. Now, if you go back to Philippians chapter 1, verse 10, and underline be sincere, and then Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, you underline be like-minded, when we get down to the bottom of this stack of verses, you're going to have a list of be attitudes.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get them out of Matthew. You're going to get them out of Philippians. And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, now I've let the cat out of the bag, be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Boy, get your head around that one. I don't care what your party affiliation is or what your politics are. As long as sin-cursed humans are running it, it's going to end up in the Dempsey dumpster. It's going to be a mess. It's not going to ever be what it ought to be, which is righteous. Part of what the founding fathers did and what they meant to do was to restrict the ability of the government to do anything.
Yes.
The idea of the Constitution was not what the government can do. The idea of the Constitution was what the government isn't allowed to do.
Yes.
And is turned over to the individual people and the individual states.
Yes.
It was never a matter of putting up this great papacy in Washington, D.C. that has the votes be like the smoke coming out of the chimney of the Vatican, so that they then have this mandate to run the country. The Constitution was a system whereby the states were declared, this is what you do, and the only thing we do involves trade, it involves national protection, and some of those kinds of things. I marvel, and you know, I'm sorry, I'm so apolitical anymore. The people picked on President Bush as if he could do something about Katrina.
Yes.
Now, I'll grant you, when he's down there, oh, Brownie, you're doing a good job, not so hot.
No. Okay.
Remember that day?
Yeah.
Flew down to New Orleans, instead of flying over, he actually showed up. What's the guy going to do? A Force 5 hurricane came ashore, wiped out city after city after city, flooded a city that probably shouldn't have been built in a floodplain.
Yes.
Picky. Wiped out Biloxi, Mississippi. I mean, it just took a wide swath.
Yeah.
Now, they're starting to gang up on President Obama. Mm-hmm. What's he going to do?
Yeah.
There's no easy answer. You just killed 11 people. It's as if that never happened. You never hear that mentioned.
No.
Killed 11 people. It flamed up. It fell over. It's a mile down in the bottom of the sea. Mm-hmm. I loved it when Matt Lauer asked the president of BP, do you think the government should move you out of the way? Take over. The fella had the perfect opportunity. He should have said, I'm out of here.
Yeah, you do it.
You guys take over, man. You, Barack Obama, and Napolitano, you go down there, you fix that puppy. I've done everything I know how to do. Mm-hmm. Then you'd have seen something.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, BP's no longer British Petroleum. right or wrong?
Right.
Who owns BP? Why is nobody saying? The country's name is Venezuela. Who's the president of Venezuela, and what does he think of the United States of America, and what does he think about our president?
Yeah. Mr. Chavez. Doesn't like us much.
Huh? Do you suppose he, down in Venezuela, could be saying, every day you drag this thing out, I'll give you a bonus $1 million, Mr. President, the CEO. Just drag this puppy out, because it embarrasses the president, it messes up their food, it messes up their trade. Why has nobody in the mainstream media made the connection that BP, I mean, I'm not the smartest, sharpest knife in the drawer, but it didn't take me long to think, oh, this fellow that owns BP, his country, nationalized it. They've got 29-cent gas, remember?
Yeah.
This country hates us. Has written President Obama a book to read?
Yeah.
And here's stupid fellow, read my book. And total disrespect. How is it that somebody paid, what's Katie Couric hit? $14 million?
Something
like that. A year? To sit there and look pretty?
Yeah. Perky.
Perky?
Maybe our president needs to talk to the owners.
Oh, no, that's Cesar Chavez. Oh, we can't talk to him because they hate each other.
Well, yeah, that's bad.
Do you want to tell me if President Clinton was still in office, there wouldn't have been that connection made? If President Bush was still in office, there wouldn't have been that connection made? Why is the connection not now being made? Are we knuckling under to the Muslim influence to where we're afraid to speak out against them?
Yeah.
They're going to build a 13-story mosque at 9/11 site.
Yeah.
Help me out, people. When did this start being thinkable? When did 9/11 happen? How many years and you don't have even an outhouse built? Are we afraid? What's the deal with this? Our president went to several countries and bowed, and he said awfully nice things, and he said that America's not a Christian country. You know, the rug's being pulled out from under a lot of things that we thought were true.
Mm. Yes.
I'm not conspiratorial minded. I'm really not. But it just strikes me weird that nobody says, hey, BP's owned by Venezuela. How come we're not rattling their chain about getting this taken care of? Because we can't.
The other thing.
Who's playing who?
Yeah.
Who's making who look bad? Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
I mean, not even Fox News told you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not even Fox.
Yeah, I think so. My brain goes to different places. I understand that. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. That you may be blameless and harmless, another be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. I don't care who you put in the White House.
Right.
It ain't going to be pretty.
No, it's not.
Philippians chapter 3, verse 2, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, another B word, to beware. Mm-hmm. Remember old Pete talks about dogs returning to their vomit?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dogs, when the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of the Pharisees, he calls them dogs. They're people that cheat with doctrine.
Yeah.
Beware of evil workers.
Yes.
How could it be that a man who was a Christian mystic wrote weird books. Books that had details of Jesus in hell and Satan's beating on him and hitting him and torturing him. 3 days, Jesus is just getting the snot knocked out of him and the devil's just tearing him up. And when Jesus resurrects, for those 3 days, he hadn't been any better than Satan himself. Jesus gave up his righteousness, he gave up being God, for those 3 days, and the devil just knocked the snot out of him. The guy that wrote that, from the cross to the throne, is E.W. Kenyon.
Yeah.
E.W. Kenyon, if you read his, I'm going to say, Bible in the Light of Redemption, half dozen of his books, you will have read every word that ever came out of the mouth of Kenneth Copeland or Kenneth Hagin.
That's right.
They got it from him.
Oh, yes.
Hagin says, Kenneth Copeland says, when you are born again, you become like God. You're a little God. And just as God could speak the world into existence, your words are power packages to cause things to happen. Now, folks, not only is the doctrine awful, it seems to me it is planned, marketed, to deal with poor folks, poorly educated folks,
yes,
disadvantaged folks,
yes,
folks that have had to claw their way and haven't gotten out of the muck and mire just yet. It plays with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can grab it and grab it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you, baby.
The Lord said the poor you will always have with you.
Yeah.
I found out there's also some other kinds of folks you're always going to have with you.
Yeah.
There's some folks that don't know hardly any Bible except an occasional verse that they learned in a praise course.
Yeah.
That promises them all the benefits of the kingdom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Promises them all the goodies. I've known Pentecostal pastors, and some of them, I talk to them, I deal with them. They're confused. They may not be real sharp scripturally. They may not know a lot, but I believe some of them to be sincere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't believe Kenneth Copeland's sincere. I don't believe Benny Hinn's sincere. I think these men are merchandising marbles, and they're crooked as a dog's hind leg.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't think it's any accident when Benny Hinn takes the stage, they're playing How Great Thou Art. And it's not about God.
No, it's not.
I don't think it's any accident that this merchandising is going on. We're supposed to beware of these kinds of things.
Yes.
Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, be found in Him. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. I know I'm in Him. I know I'm, by Holy Spirit baptism, placed into the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. I know I'm complete in Him. I know from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 29 and 30, I'm flesh of His flesh, bone of His bones. I know it intellectually. I understand the position that God has placed me in judicially. The thing I have a hard time learning is what that means before I'm dead and meet the Lord in heavenly places.
Yes.
found in him, not having mine own righteousness. I'm not allowed self-justification. I'm not allowed to defend my person. After all, my person was crucified. Mm-hmm. Not about me. So my job then, being found in him, is to have the one mind to declare the one truth that the church, the body of Christ, is supposed to be teaching, how a soul is saved and how a saint is edified. Being found in him is not some goosebump related feeling. Why just feel Jesus? Somebody said that to me the other day, and I said, is he warm and fuzzy? Or, you know, I but. Because see, that's not real.
That's not real.
Emotions are a lie.
Yes.
I saw a cartoon movie. Up.
Yeah.
I had tears in my eyes.
Yeah.
That's a cartoon.
Yes.
They never were people.
No.
Where are you, real balloons? It's a cartoon.
Yeah.
Had a tear in my eye.
Yeah.
Can't be about my emotions. It can't be about my person. It's got to be about him. Be found in him. Having that mind of sacrifice. What a concept. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. Brethren, be followers together of me. Be Pauline. I've harped on this over the years because it's right for me so to do. Being Pauline will play well for you at the judgment seat of Christ. And
yes,
my authority for that is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 to 15. When you build on the wise master builder's foundation, the wise master builder being Paul, you then are going to have the right orientation, the right worldview. You're going to be making the right kinds of decisions. I can't do much for you down here. But by encouraging you to be Pauline and helping you to get your head around what that encompasses, and there's a lot of downside, a lot of things you got to let go. You can't bind, you can't loose. You don't even know how to pray for it. You ought. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. But the benefits are eternal.
Amen.
Because at the judgment seat of Christ, you're looking at gold, silver, and precious stones instead of wood, hay, and stubble. And you know, 70 seems like a long time when you're down here living it in the bunions hurt. But when you're up in heavenly places,
amen,
it's not going to mean much.
No, it's not.
This life's but a vapor.
Amen.
Be Pauline. Wow. Paul says, Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for in, and I love that word, ensemble. We've talked about that before. We don't need to now. But mark these people. Who are the Pauline people? How about that? Who are the Pauline people? There's a real rejection of Paul, his books, and his teachings in the mainline denominations.
Yes.
Whether it be Roman Catholic, whether it be Episcopal, whether it be United Methodist, there is, and it's not an accident, it is a purposeful rejection. Mm-hmm. They're focusing on the red letters, they're focusing on Christ, they're focusing on the kingdom. All that sounds wonderful until you know you're not supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
That your focus is to be Pauline and Pauline doctrine. So, being followers together of Paul, mark them which walk. What a privilege it is to know even a handful of Pauline people, because
yes,
there aren't many more than a handful scattered around.
Mm-hmm.
Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be full of care, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. I'm not to be fretful, I'm not to be full of care. I'm not to be the one that, how did we used to say it? I don't have ulcers, I give ulcers. But I'm not to be the one that is ulcerated, worried about this, and just fretting everything.
half a dozen, what, seven or eight verses there, each with a B in them. That's a whole lot better than going to Matthew 5 for the Beatitudes.
Yes.
So the B verses.
Yes.
And what I'm trying to learn from this, what I'm trying to get from this, started with verse 5, let this mind be in you. Okay, well, what kind of mind is that? Lester Roloff, down there in Corpus Christi, Texas, when he was jailed by Ann Richards, the then governor, was accused of brainwashing the children in his school.
Yeah.
He had a Christian school, he had a church down there, People's Baptist Church, if I remember right, and he had a school down there, and he was accused by Ann Richards, the blonde lady who said that George Bush was born with a silver foot in his mouth. Ann Richards, and he was accused of brainwashing the children, and he said, guilty.
Amen.
Their minds are filthy. They need it washed.
Amen.
So I washed it with the water of the Word.
Yes.
I made them memorize whole chapters.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Where were we? We were on Indian River Road, Dorothy Lane. Might have been a... Is there one Christian? Might have been... Whatever kind of restaurant it was, a hamburger joint. It was a Frisch's. Mm-hmm. And there was Lester Roloff with the Honeybee Quartet.
Yeah.
And the whole place was full of people eating. It was after church, you know, and it was full of the Sunday crowd.
Mm-hmm.
So those four girls, the Honeybee Quartet, got up. They started singing songs. And then they had prayer. The whole rest of the place just fell to total silence.
Oh, yeah.
I loved it. The mind of Christ allows my Bible, my Savior, my purpose as members of the church, the body of Christ, to become more important than anything else. I'm going to suggest to you that's supernatural. You don't wake up one day and decide, well, I'm going to take on the mind of Christ and I'll show everybody how wonderful I am. That's all counterintuitive, isn't it?
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
It's the Word that works effectually in you. So get in the way of it. Allow the Bible to deal with your inner man, to strengthen your inner man. And we learn some things about the mind of Christ. Now, every sermon outline book in America or every commentary on Philippians will include the 14 points I gave you. The 7 points of his humility and the 7 points of his exaltation.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing original with those 14 points. They're in every book there is. So if you've got a book on Philippians, they're in there. And the beauty of it is, and I'm going to not even bother with the second 7 points because that's God's business since after we're out of here, after we're out of Dodge, when we get exalted, when we're in heavenly places. But I notice in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, he humbled himself. He had the form of God, and he took human form.
Yes.
He made himself of no reputation, took the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of human beings. He humbled himself. He even took the humility and the shame of the curse of the cross.
Yes.
I look at my Savior, and I can't for one minute say he did it and it was all about him, but he did it and it was all about him. He didn't come down here as an egomaniac. He didn't come down here as, what do you mean I have to live here and be a carpenter? Son, that I'm God. He wasn't that way.
No.
He took that humility, that form. He operated as a member of humanity. Rather than becoming then arrogant, because I'm saved and you're not, rather than becoming prideful, I know some Bible and you don't, I'm to learn this business of humility. And you know, a McNugget that's a favorite of mine is when I take myself seriously, I can be certain I'm the only one who ever will.
Hmm?
There's the truth there, isn't it? So we can't be about us. We can't be taking ourselves seriously. It's about God's word. It's about communicating what God has given us. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ submitted on so many levels.
Yes.
Christ submitted to the law program. He was circumcised the eighth day. That's the law program. Yes. The Lord Jesus Christ had a mom and dad. He was a carpenter's son. He did work as a carpenter's son.
Yes, he did.
The question is asked, is not this the carpenter's son?
Yes,
that's who it was. They paid their taxes.
Yes.
They weren't like the Christian identity movement hunkering in bunkers in Montana. He had a job. He did his work. By the way, so did our Apostle Paul.
Yes.
He only mentions it one time in passing about making tents, or you wouldn't even know it.
Yeah.
He wasn't bleeding Kroger blue. It was all about his Savior.
That's right.
Amen.
There'd been a change.
Amen.
He wasn't Saul anymore. Now he was Paul. He wasn't in opposition to Christ any longer. Now he was the revelator of the mystery. Well, let's see. I'm not Kroger Blue anymore.
No.
Not about that anymore. It's not about that life. Oh, my. Those halcyon days when I'm spending millions of Kroger's money. Do you know how many best friends you get among salesmen? And you are spending millions of other people's money? I'm not saying hundreds of thousands of other people's money. Millions. So when I flew into Winston-Salem, North Carolina at the Haynes Hosiery plant, they had a flag, American flag, and under that was a welcome Terry McLean flag.
Yeah.
You ever have a flag?
No.
Had my name on it, but it was about Kroger's checkbook.
Yes, it was.
That's what it was about.
Yes.
As dumb as I was, I even knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's none of that business.
No.
I was talking to someone the other day who was from Maine, and he said, have you ever heard of Welby Drugstores? And I said, yes. I hired their first pharmacist. I wrote their position paper as to how they would position themselves in the marketplace. I was there when Miss Maine cut the ribbon. I set every price in every store. I hired every vendor in every store. I laid out the store. I chose the leopard skin wallpaper. I was president and founder of Welby Drugstores. You know, I hadn't thought about that in years and years and years and years.
Yeah.
That's over.
Yes.
Now, have you ever heard about how Christ died for your sins?
That's it.
There's a new orientation.
Amen.
In Exodus chapter 21, verse 32, you see an ox push a manservant or a maidservant, he shall give unto the master 30 shekels of silver. The manservant, the maidservant, most likely was enslaved.
Yes.
The Lord Jesus Christ was sold out for the same 30 shekels of silver by Judas.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't the price of a king.
No.
Was the price of a servant.
Yes, it was.
You and I, our servants, were not greater than our master. We have the privilege of being as Paul. How many times does Paul say, a servant of the gospel, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? Servant in those instances is also dealing with the concept of being enslaved to the gospel, enslaved to the Lord Jesus Christ. Slavery is not a pleasant topic. It's used. The Bible talks about it. The Bible doesn't evaluate it. It was there. It was in place.
Mm-hmm.
And the concept is used to say, you've been bought with a price.
That's right.
Which is exactly how we're described, as having been bought with a price. If I've been bought with a price, then somebody else is in charge of me.
That's right.
Who would that be? The head of the church.
The
Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is wrongly accused of promoting slavery. It doesn't do that. It reports slavery.
Mm-hmm.
And it uses slavery to illustrate. And the God of the universe was sold out for the price of a servant.
Mm-hmm.
Which tells you about humble himself.
Yes.
And he died cursed.
Yes, he did.
Cursed is every man that hangeth along the tree. Jesus wasn't turned into Satan. He wasn't turned devilish, as Kenneth Copeland says. What you're dealing with is God's judiciary imputing upon the Lord Jesus Christ the sins that you and I deserve to pay for. And Christ pays for them.
Amen.
His righteousness that you and I don't deserve is imputed upon us when we are members of the church, the body of Christ, saved by God's grace. Going back to lesson one, which would have been 12 lessons ago, I gave you my list of key verses for Philippians. And Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I'm chewing on that one. I'm trying to get a hold of that one. And I come to my next one, let this mind be in you. And I back away from the book of Philippians and I think to myself, I need to be learning how to think.
Yes.
Some statements are being made here that I'm supposed to have personalized. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I need to learn how to think that way. My mind needs worked on. Expect a lot of amens at that one. I need another level of understanding.
Yeah.
That I may know him in the power of his resurrection. I can do all things. If my life is what I say it is, then I need to let the mind of Christ supersede my mind.
Yes.
I need to learn these biblical concepts of sacrifice without expecting a reward, of doing for others and expecting them not to even understand what I did for them. It's a beautiful thing to see my Savior being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Talk about a deity declaration. There
yes.
It is. Made himself of no reputation. You realize, as much as verse 6 is a deity verse, verse 7 is a deity verse, because
Amen.
If he's born to people that can barely pay their taxes in a manger, there's no room in the inn, and his daddy's a carpenter. That kid born there didn't have any reputation.
That's right.
He makes himself of no reputation because he's God. So verse 7 is demonstrating to take upon the form of a servant means you're not one.
That's right.
To take upon the likeness of man means you don't have that as your normal likeness. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Normally, that's not what he looks like.
Right.
You see him show up in Revelation chapter 1, long about verses 20 and 21, and he's a stunner.
Oh my.
I mean, he just, well, think about him. In the Gospels, does not the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrate who he is? In the so-called transfiguration?
Yes.
The Lord Jesus Christ shows everybody who he is. Somebody tell Pastor Jordan. Pastor Jordan doesn't think Christ even knew who he was. Had none of the attributes of God. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, he, as he shows himself to be the God of the universe, and there's Moses and Elijah standing there with him, and the disciples looking at it, was his norm.
Yes.
For how many thousands of years? He comes here and humbles himself, born of a virgin, under the law, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. He's ridiculed, imprisoned, spat upon, illegal trial, all the things that happened to him.
Yes.
And the Lord Jesus Christ endured it.
Yes, he did.
When Paul tells me I'm to endure hardness as a good soldier, okay, that's part of the mind that I need to take on.
Amen.
When I get to the end of this passage, verse 10, that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. You see, the three realms will be in heavenly places. Israel will be on the earth, and those that are under the earth. You've got Genesis 6 people that are under the earth. You've got the devil that's under the earth. You've got the underworld and people that are creatures, beings that are inhabiting that. Once again, as I said to you, every commentary in your house, everyone you look at, will have the 14 points, 7 of his humiliation, 7 of his exaltation. When you come to this verse, every commentary in the house will wax rhapsodic over the name of Jesus. The Gaithers wrote a song about what a beautiful name. You get posters on the wall to show all the names. Oh, it's a magical name. Oh, it's a lyrical. They just get all blathery with it. I'm not good with warm and fuzzy. You figured that out a long time ago. What I'm looking at here is not a two-syllable word that is lyrical, magical, poetic, and I'm looking at the name of Jesus being a name of power and authority.
Yes.
You don't bow to a lyric.
No.
To a poem. Oh, it just makes me feel... It's not that. You bow to authority. When you pray in Jesus' name, it's not that those are magic words that end your prayer, like hitting the send key on your email.
Yeah.
It's in the authority and the position God has given you. It's instructive to start a few prayers that way. Father, I come to you in the position and power given me in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as I'm complete in you.
Yes.
You start praying a few of them like that, you won't be quite so shy and bashful. You're not telling the Lord what to do, but neither are you afraid of him.
That's right.
Romans chapter 5, verse 1, he's not mad at you.
Amen.
God the Father, God the Spirit, God the Son are in favor of what God the Son accomplished for creation.
Yeah.
And you're in him.
Amen.
What's your downside? Are you, when you talk with the Lord, politically correct and you don't tell him everything, like he wouldn't be able to figure it out? Yeah. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm reminded of when Barney Fife did a U-turn and Gomer's chasing him down the street. Citizens arrest, stop in the name of the law. Mm-hmm. It's not that the law has a name. It's in the authority of the law.
That's right.
In the authority of Jesus. And at the authority of Jesus. At who he is, every knee should bow. Things in heaven. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and glory of God the Father. So, his exaltation reminds me that in heavenly places, when everything is settled, everything is where it needs to be.
Yeah.
It's God's righteousness, and I'm privileged to be part of that because of what Jesus Christ did for me.
Amen.
I set my affections on things above.
Yes.
But I live crucified with Christ, with the one mind, learning the mind of Christ, operating accordingly as he would have me to do, in the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, every tongue confesses, every knee bows, I'm complete in him. Every day Christ lived on this earth, he lived as a man. Fully God, but he lived as a man. I've been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a new creature, but you sure couldn't tell if I lived that way. I live as a man. I need to understand that about me, what God has done for me. I need to understand that my salvation, with all its eternal benefits and all its eternal consequences, does not in any way elevate me until I'm up there with him.
Yes.
Now, he has me here as his ambassador. I'm to learn his mind. I'm to learn how this works. You and I have both been at it a while. I can look back a few years and say, well, I'm doing a whole lot better now than I did a few years ago. And I'm grateful for that, because God's word does work effectually. But I can tell you, I'm not where I want to be. I'm not where I need to be. And it's a growth process. Salvation happens in an instant, but you grow in grace the whole rest of the time.
Yes.
I'm going to say to you, the key is finding out what God has done for you in Christ Jesus and then acting accordingly.
Yes.
What we're doing in Philippians is finding it out. We're putting it in our inner man. We're letting this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's scary. On a human level, it's impossible.
Yeah.
We'll close there and pick up next time. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right.
What a wonderful
It really is.
What a wonderful Savior.